Good to go.
Okay, I got 6:30. Welcome to the three board meeting, Board of Selectmen joint meeting with members of the Finance Committee and Board of Education, Tuesday, October 14th, 2025, 6:30 p.m. at the Town Hall in virtual. So since everybody's different, for here, if you could all state your name when you speak for Casey, our clerk. So first we'll go with public comment. Is there any public comment out there? I don't see any hand raised. Then we'll continue our discussion on Columbia student count and projections. Which we'll turn that over to Dave Tolusa.
Hi, good evening, everybody. So this summer I spent some time doing some research on our partnership with Columbia, what's happened in the past, and most importantly, where we're going to go in the future. So I started by emailing and calling the superintendent of Columbia. I went over for a visit this summer. We had about an hour discussion about the history of the partnership, where they are currently right now, talked about some roadblocks to participation with Bolton. So that prompted a good discussion on throwing out some ideas of how we can increase participation in the partnership moving forward. Since our partnership began, they've offered a couple additional options to Columbia students, one being E.O. Smith and the other being Ram High School, both fairly large comprehensive high schools that offer a variety of different programming, one being an ag-ed program at E.O. Smith. But we believe that Bolton High School is a viable option as well. And we feel like it offers students a unique opportunity that the other two high schools may not. And so my message to her was, we want to kind of re-energize our efforts, our recruiting efforts a little bit, and see if we can't get in the conversation in Columbia Homes so that Bolton is in the conversation with families when they're deciding where they're going to send their children to high school. One of the best ways we can do that is to get them here and get as much information to families as we possibly can about the opportunities that Bolton High School presents. So this year they have roughly 57 eighth grade students. At the beginning of the summer, when I got on board, we started having our senior leadership meetings once a week. One of the things on our first agenda, and it's been on a running agenda item, is our retention and recruitment efforts of Bolton High School, Bolton Center School students, as well as Columbia students. And so we brainstormed over the summertime some different strategies that we want to implement to try to increase enrollment at Bolton High School. Our team is fully aware that it's a priority of ours, and it's something that is at the forefront of our minds with everything that we're doing. We started a rough draft of a retention and recruitment plan over the summertime that we're tweaking and putting into action right now. Some of the things we're checking off as we're doing them, and other things we're tweaking and shifting as new ideas come to us. A couple weeks ago, our Bolton High School staff, guidance, and the principal went over to Forest Porter and met all the eighth grade students over there, gave them a brief overview of Bolton High School, the offerings, and then last Thursday afternoon, we welcomed all of them to Bolton High School for a visit. So they all came. It was really, really well done by our high school staff. We had our teachers, our ninth grade teachers, leading groups of Forest Porter students around school. It started off by them coming into the building. Mr. Maselli welcomed them, then I welcomed them, try to give them a little inspirational welcome to Bolton. We hope you join our Bolton community. And then sent them on their way to tour the building. They had a sample of our amazing music program. Mr. Ayer did an awesome job with students explaining what kids can have access to and participating in the music program with or without prior experience. I think that was a big hit. They went to the culinary room and got to learn and see kids in action, making cooking food and baking things. And that was also a big hit. So we try to steer away from come see a math classroom, come see a science classroom, because those classrooms typically look very similar in different places, but more a flavor of what might be a little bit different about Bolton High School. And so I thought that was really well received. They have a great group of kids that came over. One of the stations that we was a student run station. We had a panel of about four or five students, some of them student athletes, student council, involved in different activities. And so they got to do like a little question and answer with the Columbia students, which was really neat. I popped into a few of those sessions, and I thought the kids did a really nice job. And, you know, middle school kids, sometimes they're more apt to listen to their peers or high school students than they are the adults, surprisingly, as it might be. So that was really good. I thought overall the visit was really, really great. We followed up with inviting the kids back with their families Thursday night. And about 8 to 10 Columbia families came back with their families, students came back with their families, which I thought was really positive. And then Ms. Maselli and I had a conversation this morning about next steps with those students and their families, as well as the rest of the families. So we want to reach out personally, myself and or Mr. Selly, so especially those 8 to 10 families that came personally that night, and offer them another private tour of the building. And then some of the other ideas we have moving forward is email follow-up to families, phone calls to families, requesting contact information from the superintendent to have access to the eighth grade families so we can send out blast emails to them, make them aware of different activities we had. We offer them free admission to any school events that we have at Bolton High School moving forward. So we want to make sure that they're aware of when our play is, when concerts are, when night basketball games are, so we can invite them to those things. In the back of my mind, I have too, like, can we connect them with some of our students in the high school somehow? Similar to what we're trying to do with our BCS students and make them feel a part of Bolton High School as early as possible and make them feel connected to that. I think that's one thing that kids thrive on and kids look for, is what they want to be a part of something. And we think we have something special at Bolton High School. So getting them a part of Bolton High School as early as we possibly can. Also working with an outside person to create a promotional video highlighting the day in the life of a Bolton student, which I think were really neat. Could be a really neat opportunity to show at open houses, when we go to Columbia, when we're touring people around the building. Any chance we can get, I'd like to show that video highlighting what it's like to be a participant in Bolton Public Schools. So I think that's another thing I'm excited to put into motion. I also had a conversation when I met with the superintendent in the summertime. We had a brief conversation about having a Bolton information night in Columbia. Right now, currently, they have an event where all the schools can come at one point. At one time, it's like a little showcase for all the high school options. And I asked if we could have one separate for Bolton High School. And so I'm going to try to see if I can make that happen. And so we can go there to Columbia and meet with any families that may have additional questions or have anything they want to know about the Bolton experience. I think one key thing is, I think we have got a nice bit of momentum right now with those kids because they just visited, the families came. So now the challenge is, how do we maintain contact with them throughout the course of the year? Because between now and when they decide what high school they're going to, is a pretty big gap. So we want to try to stay as connected as we possibly can. I don't have all the things in place right now that we're going to do between now and then, but myself and the two principals have been brainstorming some things, and I'm excited about some of the things we're going to have to hopefully recruit some of those students.
Sounds like you've got a great plan in action there.
Hope so.
Yeah,
very so good.
The board's very excited.
Could I get his name again for the record?
David Caruso, he's the superintendent.
Thank you.
And then Ashley Thielen. So the board of ed is really excited about the groundwork, you know, that the Superintendent Caruso has laid already, you know, 4 months in. A lot has been done. So hopefully, you know, we're able to equate, you know, over the years into actual additional students, you know, coming to Bolton. So
yeah, hopefully we can chip away and, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to be overnight.
Yeah, hopefully we can chip away and start building some momentum so more Columbia families are talking about the Bolton experience and we can gain some momentum there. It is becoming more and more challenging every year because every year families have more options. Also, like almost every other town in the state of Connecticut, their enrollment is also seeing a decrease. So right now they currently only have about 39 kids in their fifth grade. Yeah. So
that's a huge drop.
It is a big drop. And then I think, like, I don't have all the numbers here, but I want to say, like, in second or third grade, they go back up to 53.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some pretty significant fluctuations in their enrollment as well.
So this may be totally antiquated, but I remember in elementary school, like, we had pen pals.
Yeah.
Like, I was wondering if maybe starting in, like, sixth or seventh grade, if you did, like, pen pals between Bolton and Columbia, and then they have friendships already formed, that might entice them to continue those friendships by going to high school with them.
So not antiquated at all. There might be
not like
they're probably not putting stamps on anything anymore, but if we can get access to like emails and things like that, that's something I thought of doing. I think it would be a little bit easier to do with our current Bolton Center School students. Get them connected with high school kids.
Or connection with other teachers, and you can make it part of the curriculum too.
Yeah.
I think we
can
do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Amanda Gordon.
Sorry.
Actually, you need that.
And I think there's been some other exciting kind of news that you've been announcing too as well relating to the high school. Has that been well received in terms of the recent was it US News?
Yes. Connecticut, they came out with the US News ranking in Bolton High School scored very, very well. Also, if you look at the Next Generation Accountability Index, which rates every school and school district on a scale, and they use about 12 or 13 different metrics, from physical fitness scores to attendance to high school graduation rate, performance on math, science, and reading. And then they put you in a category. Category one is the highest. And of all the surrounding high schools, Bolton High School is the only category one school on there. And when I looked at area schools, I included schools like South Windsor High School and Glastonbury High School and Coventry, and of course, E.O. Smith and Ram. And Bolton High School is the only category one school on there and did receive the highest score of the group. So I think that's something that Bolton should be very, very proud of.
Very good. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you walk the kids by the trophy case?
You know, it's interesting what kids in eighth grade are interested in. You know, so you try to strategically figure out like which kids are interested in drama and which kids are the athletes. And so I try to position myself and make some comments to different kids based on what I could observe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Is there anything else for that topic? Or do we
just thank you very much. Yes. It's like you're putting a tremendous amount of effort in. It's much, much appreciated. Thank you.
I think we all agree with that. That's exciting to hear. Advancement on that topic. So discussion on budget and related items for the current fiscal year, next year, and subsequent years, including revenues. So should we start with revenues for what's coming up? And I think we have a
year by year,
right? That information is where we came in unaudited numbers, of course, but where we came in with a surplus in revenues, which we knew was going to be very low because we had to do whatever we could to get the budget passed. So, and then unaudited expenditures, the rest, the give back, and then unaudited potential, like the 600. $618,000, that would be for 27, surplus going towards 27. Unfortunately, that's like half of what it normally is. So it may be a struggle. And then there's also debt information on that. When the debt is finalized and the debt for this fiscal year.
So as far as the revenues go, there's a possible surplus of $618,983 compared to last year, which was...
I don't have that information.
Okay.
The year before was 1.2 million.
It was over...
I don't remember last year, but the year before it was 1.2.
So we're into about half of that. And then we're not going to get any of the automobile funding at all. So between two of those, we're kind of eight ball quite a bit before we even start. I want to jump in here, Ross. Any comments?
No, you just summed up what I would have said. So
okay.
Now that this is a challenge that we're starting off with. And again, it's Ross Lally, Chair, Board of Finance speaking.
Thank you.
It's going to be a challenge, you know, in the coming year. You know, between the actual monies we have to work with and communicating with our taxpayers and help to better inform them so that we don't do six referenda again.
So the better informed, we're working on that.
So, and who provided the financial info? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Casey. It's Jill Collins, finance director.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bob Moore?
I was just going to say, one thing that this does represent is a fact of life that I don't think a lot of people realize, that the various boards actually, at the end of the whole cycle, have reduced their expenditures down to, there is no lien, anything left on the bone. It's just there. And that's what we're working with. And that means that with this number, I don't think you can anticipate these $300,000 or $400,000 surpluses rolling in next year. They may. I mean, the unfortunate thing is you never know what next year brings you. If we're lucky, yeah, you all will have surpluses, and because of, in the past, good money management, not because you over budgeted. And I think that's where we are. And if you all are lucky, it'll be tight, but it'll be doable next year.
Is there any
other? I'm glad I don't have to do it.
Is there any other comments on the revenues before we move into expenditures? Which we don't really have a lot to discuss on that.
Can I ask Jill a question?
Jill?
Yeah. Do you know what the givebacks, well, not the givebacks, the total revenue left over is as a percentage of the unspent revenue is as a percentage of the budget? I can look at it.
And this is again Ross Lally, just following up on what Bob Morris said, was the other challenge that we have as a town is we have an extremely small and almost useless contingency fund. It's only $25,000. And in a town like this, that means nothing if you have any type of unanticipated expense that needs to be covered. So again, this is where we keep painting ourselves into a smaller and smaller corner, square on the floor in the corner. And at some point, again, is going to catch up with us. And it started this year with between discontent with, you know, of the taxpayers and just the fact that there's less and less, you know, money left over because of the way we've been tightening up management. And so typically that money would go from, you know, this year into next to reduce taxes. It's not going to be there. So there's less leverage to, you know, reduce your taxes the next year. And I just don't know what else to say. I just want to make sure that we've just, you know, covered the bases to explain that it's going to be tight.
And the sales for Columbia students is a good thing because we bring in a fair amount of money with them. And that money pretty much goes directly to the bottom line. So
that's goes to our bond payments,
which we have to make no matter what.
Right.
We can get money to do it. Yeah. Then that's a big plus. So we want the best of luck there. There's not a lot of places to get revenue from. So is there anything else on the expenditures?
I just have a question.
Yep.
On the 2017 bond is going to be paid off in 2026.
Correct. It's going to get off 10 years.
How much is that?
How much is it?
Yeah, that's
what we have. This is going to be paid off the next year. You look, let's see. So there's 181,000 left on it, between principal and interest.
Oh yeah, that's that one.
And that's the one that it was a 10-year. I think it was 1.1 million. It's a 10-year bond. The other ones were 30. I believe they were 30. Yeah, because they were taken out in 2010, 2012. We have refunded the callable ones we could last time we went out to bond. So we, you know, got it at a lower interest rate, but this is still going to be until 2032, the last one we paid out.
Thank you.
This is Chris Davey, Vice Chair of the Board of Ed. So I just had a kind of general question to the folks who are doing all the budgeting. Are you looking at prior years' underspends and trying to assess whether there's a pattern? And if so, where those patterns are happening in your various departments? The reason I ask is because I've been digging into the budgets going back last 25 years or so. And there's a fairly consistent pattern of both boards, particularly since 2013, when Kristen Hecht came on board, both boards underspending their budgets by a fairly significant percentage each year. Board of Selectmen is consistently worse, averaging around 6%, I believe, underspends over that period, compared to about 4% for the Board of Ed. And it happens year after year after year. I mean, some years it's bigger, close to $1 million, I think the Board of Ed a couple of years ago. Some years it's closer to $400,000 or $500,000, but it is happening year after year after year. And it makes me wonder, could we not take, say, a 5 or 10 year look back period, say, okay, over that period, we underspent our budget every year on average 3%. We're simply going to reduce our next year's budget by, you know, 1 or 2%, knowing that once again, next year we will most likely underspend it by somewhere within the statistical range that we have been underspending it over that period. Does anyone do that currently?
I would just chime in and say another way to look at it, right? Because I don't necessarily, the other point that you found in your research is that we haven't been keeping pace with inflation, right, over the years. So we're not necessarily spending too much money. And I would say if we know we're underspending each year, not necessarily to reduce the budget, because we are living on bare bones and we cut things every year. So if we know we're underspending by this amount every year, wouldn't we be better, you know, served by putting it into a capital reserve fund? Quite frankly, there are towns in our state that every year budget 10% of their budget to put away towards capital reserve funds so that they can do projects moving forward. Every year, our capital funds get cut and we end up having these big needs that we're unable to meet, which creates volatility in our budgets. And so I think that as opposed to cutting the budgets moving forward, we'd be better spent investing in our future responsibly, right? Where it's not necessarily going to raise taxes per se, but keep the same rate where we are and still invest in our future, because we're, you know, we've got some big projects on the horizon. We've talked about wants and needs that the town has, and we have zero way to pay for it, particularly if we keep having the referendums that we do. And so I think we need to take a different approach moving forward. And I really appreciate all the time and energy that Chris spent digging into the data.
I'd like to respond. Bob Moore, it's an interesting set of statistics. Unfortunately, it's a statistic. Unless you live that statistic, you aren't really putting that statistic into the real world. I'll give you a typical example. I can't speak for the Board of Ed. I've never served on it. Certainly served on the Board of Selectmen for all those years. And one of our biggest budgets, the largest one, is highway budget. And that budget varies from year to year. As much as we try and plan, Mother Nature has its own plans. We're talking tens of thousands to, you know, maybe to $100,000+ every year swing, but you don't know. It would be nice, and I go back to what Ross said, if our structure had $150,000, $200,000 reserve fund. Each board could then not have that concern what happens when the, you know, what hits the fan. And you have to plan for that. You can't just say, oh, that's okay, because it's not. And you have not been in the position to have to deal with those issues. I have. And I can tell you, each year we went through this whole issue and how can we pare back? What can we do? And continue to deal with issues that keep coming up. We have issues on the town side. There's structure issues, highways, buildings, all these buildings. So what have we done? What have we done? We've tried to modernize as best we can, but they're still old buildings. We're still trying to maintain these buildings as best we can. And those expenses aren't going away. They keep going up. And you can all shake your heads, but...
No, we don't. I don't think he was trying to be accusatory. He was legitimately asking a question. So don't take it like, don't
be defensive. No, that's exactly how I take it.
I can tell.
It's exactly how I take it. But
I think you're missing the point.
But it's a point. But the point is, every board, regardless of the makeup, whether it was party makeup, has gone through that same issue. How do we do it? Can we? And whether or not, slowly, COVID kind of screwed everything up. But we were all working towards bringing that number down. And I know Jim brought Jim on board. One of his major issues was reviewing our budgets, each budget at the end of each year, and say, well, this has a big surplus. Why? Let's see if we can't bring that down. And that's the policy that the administration has worked on for the last couple of years. Granted, we have maybe made mistakes in the past because, you know, mistakes happen, things happen. We think we did the right things, and sometimes it's almost right. It might be off a little bit. But one of the ways of dealing with what you know, issue is, how do we do that, is what Ross said. You have to have, you can do it if you're willing to take the chance, and it's a chance of having a big reserve. That would have to have a buy-in, not only with the board, but also with the electorate. And that's a tough sell. But, you know, I understand your point. I know you hit a hot point on me, but I understand your point. But I don't think it's a matter of the board's not budgeting process. I think it's a matter of the way our structure is. And I can't remember a time in the last, say, decade and a half, where we have had a reserve bigger than $25,000. So,
the reserve is not really the point here. The point is that with all of the ups and downs, and you're absolutely right, of course, some years we're going to have more road maintenance than others. But year in and year out, Board of Selectmen is returning $500,000. Every year they are not spending $500,000, year after year after year. My point is that even with those fluctuations of some years are light with the snow and others are not, some years we have a boiler that breaks down, some years we don't, even with all of those fluctuations, you're still very, very consistent. And it's not just the Board of Selectmen, it's the Board of Ed as well. Both boards are very consistent over the years in underspending their budgets. And I'm simply asking, we've been doing budgets the same way for at least the last 10, 15 years.
Just help me understand. Is the recommendation, so instead of the surplus going back into the budget the next year, you keep that money?
No, the recommendation is that as we are budgeting, look back and say, okay, the last 5 years, this board on average underspent its budget by 3% every year. So right away,
so I think Amanda's point say,
different. Well, I was saying there's
yours
different.
Yours is to keep some of it in reserve.
Yes.
For capital project. Yours is to simply say it's 3% over, so we're going to cut it by 1%.
Make a risk adjustment.
I'm saying make a risk adjustment up front. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's many different directions that the data can send you in. I think, you know, what was helpful was just to see the data and the trends, right? Like you can make informed decisions once you have the data and the trends, whatever that direction may be. I mean, for instance, maybe we're not underspending because expenses have declined and we're underspending. Maybe we're underspending because as a policy, the superintendent and the town administrator have been told, like, we need to have money to give back at the end of the year. So exist on bare bones and don't invest in the town and don't spend things that you normally would so that we have that money to give back, right? Like, it could be any number of things. The data just is there for us to ask the questions. Why is it like this? And what steps should we take as a result of this data, right? Like, it's not, the data doesn't point you in one direction or another. It just is there to ask questions and lead you.
Questions waiting to be
correct.
Asked and answered.
Exactly.
So then again, Ross, allow you to follow up on this. I like the question. I think it's a good thing to discuss because there's more than one answer and there's more than one approach to deal with it. And they're not all mutually exclusive. There's, you know, there's a lot that, you know, we could deal with it. And I'll just give you one example. Like if you looked at the registrars of voters, which, you know, I'm one of them, our budget, you will always find that we give money back at the end of every year. And it's because every year we carry a risk of recounts and we carry a risk of audits, and they're not cheap to do. And there's a 5% chance every year that we'll do an audit. And with this election that's coming up in November, because it's municipal and we have a lot of people on the ballot and a small number of folks coming out to vote compared to, say, the presidential election, there's a very high risk we'll have to do a recount. And these recounts cost around 8,000 or so, same thing with an audit. And that's, you will always find that in my budget because it's just a fact of life. I don't have a contingency fund that's big enough to go to fill that. So you will see us giving back. On average, we don't have it happen. But if it did, I want to have, you know, I need to have the money, you know, to do it. And unless we figure out a way to do a larger contingency fund, it's a challenge with this. And I think when you're talking about, we on average give back about 5,000, I'm sorry, 5% between the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen, I'm thinking I would like to have like a 5% contingency fund. We're limited to about 2.5, if I recall, by our charter, 2.6%, something in there. But 5% for risk management purposes for a budget of our size, it's not that big. But again, I like this conversation because it helps me understand just what we're doing makes sense. And just because it worked 5 years ago doesn't mean it needs to continue, you know, now. Plus, any discussions like this help inform our taxpayers who hopefully are listening to this and see that you asked a good question and it's provoking some comment that, you know, because it's the same thing they ask. So I think it's really good to have this discussion. And again, the solutions are more than one. And some of them, I think it's safe for us as leaders in the town to make the decisions, and others you really need to get more input from, you know, the residents of the town, because some of them could have profound changes into what they get for services, or are we going to hit you up for a supplemental assessment because we didn't put enough money into, you know, the budget, and you know what, the, you know what hit the fan. So I think it's a good discussion. And like I said, more than one answer, then they're not mutually exclusive.
Did you want to pipe in here, Jim?
Can I just ask the question? I probably didn't get, you didn't mention percentages, you mentioned dollars, correct?
No. Percentage.
Both.
Yeah. Board of Selectmen historically underspends a larger portion of his budget than Board of Ed.
7.43% since FY13 versus 3.01% of the Board of Ed since FY13.
It's the average?
Yes. Those are his numbers. I'm not taking credit for them.
Which I'm happy to share with everyone. It's just a spreadsheet with all of our budget data going back 25 years.
So what I would suggest is, as you know, it's hard to make change, you know, that quickly, but for this upcoming budget cycle, each board, as we're pulling together our budgets,
right,
each iteration that we go through, there should be a separate, okay, let me step back and have that historical data so that as we're making decisions, rolling up the budgets, that kind of reminds us of what the historical trends, and it should be informative on the decisions we make. So we might not overnight make a change about contingency or just making a risk adjustment of 3% to the budget. But I think for this upcoming budget cycle, we at least, both packages, budget packages, should do that step back and look back analysis that you did to consider that information. So it's almost like the format of the information that we look at as part of the budget cycle should just
be a little bit different. I think it would be awesome to have even more nuanced data from, the finance directors on each side, right? Like you were only able to look at the overall budget, but it would be interesting to see trends at the department level, right? Is there any one department that's always underspent or any one line item, right? That gives you more insight as to where we can take the risks and where we can't. But unfortunately, we don't necessarily have that at the data we were able to.
Unfortunately, we do. Our administrative operator does that every year. That's exactly how he develops his budget.
We only see the last 2 or 3 years, right? Yeah, like
I have,
right? I know you have
7 years
it.
Going back just by department that I
yeah,
share.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome.
We only go back 2 or 3 years because that's really what fits on a sheet, the worksheet
right.
That we're working.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I look at more than that.
Okay.
When I'm doing it, and we, Amanda, that we've caught line items in the town administration budget. Last year I told the highway department, you've left too much money on the table the last 2 years. You're still going forward with a flat budget.
Right.
That means you move money around in your budget, but you have net zero increase in your budget this year. So that is something that the Board of Selectmen have been doing. I can't really speak since before I was on the board or the town administrator, but since I became the town administrator, that is something that we're doing. And I believe that we do better every year looking at it since I, came on board here. The other thing I will say is, there were times when I was here as an employee that I know that both the board and the board of education and the town would spend surpluses at the end of the year. I refuse to do that. If we didn't budget for it, it's not something we really need. I leave that money in the budget and it goes back. That has been my philosophy since day one when I came on as a town administrator. So we don't have Christmas in the spring. We're not buying a bunch of supplies for next year's budget because that's not what this year's budget is for. This year's budget is for this year.
Yeah.
Right. Every once in a while, there's a capital need that comes up that we can match up with some leftover funds, and we'll take advantage of that opportunity. But typically, and that's why even though we have worked on decreasing these budgets and looking more carefully, it's also not something that you can do overnight without a large surplus, a fund that we can go back on if we have oh my God, it's a horrible winter. We need an extra $300,000 in salt and sand. And that's, that's where a lot of our budget surplus comes from on the town side, is from salt and sand. The other thing is you have one employee that's not at the Board of Ed or at the town for 6 months. You have two employees. That could easily be $100,000. Because, when we lose an employee, mm-hmm. it takes quite a while. That hiring process isn't quick, right? So you've got to understand that some of these things are not within the control. And I understand where you're coming from is, if you overspend every year by this much, well, you could probably take some risk there. So I understand what you're driving at. But I think right now, the demeanor of the Board of Selectmen has not been comfortable taking that risk. And I can't speak for the Board of Ed, but I can tell you that there's only so much risk that the Board of Selectmen has been willing to accept. We could say, okay, well, salt and sand is one where we often have a bit of money left over, and we're trying to budget for what we expect, right? But things change. Last winter was not a bad winter. We had a lot more overtime than we necessarily wanted, but we didn't spend as much money on salt and sand. But at the end of the day, where's that money going to come from if you run out of the money? And it's not as easy. I think one of the things that people have to understand is it's not as easy on the Board of Selectmen side to move money as it is on the Board of Ed. The Board of Ed has a much easier time moving money around within their budget. It's a multi-step process at the Board of Selectmen's level. Has to be approved by the Board of Selectmen, has to be approved by the Board of Finance. And our auditor wants us to go to a special town meeting if it's over $25,000. Right? It's not as easy for us to move money around. So we typically try not to do that, you know, beyond those parameters. You know, the Board of Education is a pseudo state agency. So their rules are much more relaxed about moving money from one budget to another. Ours are not. If it's in highway and you want to move it to the Board of Selectmen's, it's not quite that easy.
Good background to have. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
And I know our budgets start off with zero. Every line item that they, well, hopefully everybody would be involved in the budget this year. They explain each increase individually with a narrative, and it's, you know, they're all legitimate as far as you can tell.
To be clear, I am not accusing anyone misbudgeting or
you're just doing what I like to do with my meetings, which is you throw something out and see what happens, because it provokes a discussion. And sometimes I will say something outrageous just to see what happens.
And that's the purpose of this meeting, is to have these discussions. So I think
one of the most important things out of this conversation is this contingency fund that we're discussing.
Yep.
It'd be nice to have a million or two, you know, that fire truck, for example. We could probably just pay it off and not be fighting with it year over year, because that's a hurt. There's things that we could just buy instead of having to wait 3 years and pay interest on them, and if the auditor says we could do it.
Yeah, we could put it in capital reserve and have the expenditure come out of capital reserve so that we'll have a deficit, and you can then go through every year and put so much away. Because going out to get a new loan year after year, it's costing us at least $50,000.
Yep.
Between the financial advisors and the attorneys and the interest, the trucks cost us a lot more money than we planned on.
Than the voters voted for.
Yes.
Let's be very specific.
That's not the way to finance something at all.
No, we should. Right. Yeah.
We should not.
And it was talked that it would be put in with the bonds.
Right. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not coming as quickly as we'd like it to. So we're just year after year doing that short term loan, just throwing money out the door.
We did budget some for principal this year, though.
So I did talk to the auditor, and we can take what we put. Our financial advisor, both Roddy and I, swore. He said that this year we would have to do the $35,000
right
towards the principal, and then we went out with the loan, and he's like, oh, it's next year. So I talked to the auditor, and we can take it and reduce, because we put in there for principal $35,000 fee paid. So what we're going to do is we're going to reduce what the loan is for next year. Instead of 630, it'll be 595. So if boards decide to go out for another loan for another year, then it'll just be for less money. Or you can decide to put it in the wait and put it in the bond, or you can put it into capital reserve and try to reduce put so much away. But you risk you take a risk doing that too, because we have to keep cutting capital reserve.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of money.
So how many more years would we do this?
Until we get a bond.
Until it's paid for.
No, which is at the rate that we're going, how long will that take at $50,000 extra a year cost?
I don't think it ever end.
Well, we could go out to bond.
Hmm? Well,
the goal is when we go out to bond for the school roof that we roll it into that bond.
And
that's been our goal.
Approximately how far out?
The hope is next year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not on here, but that's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that's pretty much scheduled for next year, isn't it?
Yeah. That was the original goal when we bought the fire truck.
Right.
That's been 3 years.
Yeah, with the tight end.
So,
well, a couple things happened. That the good work on the school board signed whatever, you did work that extended the life in that of the roof, and it kind of the initial plans of putting the fire truck into that got moved out because of that. It's kind of like good news on one side, not so great news on the other side. But the intent was to just wrap it in, which with obviously you're at a point now that it's all right, you got to do it. This is, it's there. And we're talking, which, would you mind just remind us which roofs we're dealing with?
It's Bolton Center School. Bolton Center School. It's the roof and the parapet.
Oh, that's right. It's that the whole repair. That's right. And also dealing with the airflow system, the whole thing. Or is that just
no, the roof? That's in the capital budget this year.
That's in this year.
Yeah, there's the 400.
So it's just the roof itself, which is.
But you do have to look at the big picture too and think about all these projects and how to phase it appropriately. And
oh, yeah.
So I don't think
that's a significant project, but it's one that has to be done. It's not as if this is not something like, oh, well, you know, we can put it off with you. You've done that. You've done all you can to extend the life of that roof. And now it's a project that has to be done. And obviously you're going to wrap that this other one into it. To get that out of that reoccurring part of it. And then you're going to be, what's the other big bond that's going to be wrapping up?
2032.
Yeah,
33,
right?
Yeah.
32. Yeah. Well, there's one, the refunded for 2030.
Yeah. So. There's going to be a crunch year or so in the middle of this thing, but when you go out for bid, by the time you do the roof, it takes a year.
It's going to take a while.
I don't know what the rules are necessarily with allocation of funds, but it would be great if we could say, like, we're going to need a high school roof in 15 years, could we put away a certain amount of money per year? But
that's what
that's the balance. But then
we started to do that.
Taxpayers are like, right. Well, we don't want to do that. We'd rather just wait for it to come. So
it's like half attempts to be the first thing that gets cut when we go through the project cycle, right? Because it's not an immediate need.
Yeah, you'd be putting in an extra $200,000 to $200,000.
But I hate paying interest. I'd love to save up for a thing.
Absolutely.
We're paying interest to ourselves as opposed to getting
Getting ourselves in the foot by not spending.
Well, and when public come, their comment is, you know, when our revenue gets hit, when our salaries get hit, we have to cut our budgets, right? But on the flip side, they don't, you know, wait for a disaster to happen. They're also squirreling money away to save, in the most cases, right? Some people's budgets are exceedingly tight and they can't, understood. But in most cases, most people are squirreling away money like we would like to, so that you can be prepared when there is a project, or you want to buy that new car, you put some money away every year, right? So would like to take that same approach with the town's budget, because we know we have these big projects looming. So, I mean, just the way the simile, is it a simile? Yes. Can we go either way, right? Both on the revenue and the expensive side.
So basically, are we saying that we should just do the budget the way we do it, and at the end of, before we put it out there, we take 1% of it, put it in the contingency fund? Is that,
or contingency, you said, and capital are different?
Well,
both
the contingency either fund or would both be accessible by the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, right? Correct. And the capital, once you say what it's for, it's stuck there.
Unless you go to town meeting.
Yeah,
you got to go to town meeting and have it reallocated. So
that's the difference. That's a huge difference.
So the contingency is much more flexible.
Except that contingency at the end of the year, what happens with it?
25,000 goes to the rainy day fund, and then the remaining goes to surplus for the following year.
Right. So you lose, I mean, in theory, you lose that at the end of the year. So you're not saving up something for your future in that scenario.
No, you could put it into.
I suppose we could vote to put more than the 25. The 25 is the minimum, right?
Policy in place.
This is minimum 25.
Yeah, because I think that's a policy that is created by the Board of Finance, and we would just need to vote to change that. So what's
we never looked at our policy.
So then it would just be a matter of what the formula is to withdraw money and to use it, and by who and why.
Where to roll it over to.
Yeah. And I think it would
have to be answered by three boards probably have to agree to it or something.
And it would also benefit the Board of Ed when they get a student in with special needs that is a real sudden big hit on their budget, because right now it comes out of the Board of Selectmen's budget effectively, is you know what happens. It comes out of another budget than their own to cover it. So I think it would be a lot clearer and more visible to folks around the town to see what we went through.
A special needs student would come out of the board.
If they don't have the money budgeted in the Board of Ed, the agreement has been.
It
comes out of contingency. It doesn't come from the selectmen's budget.
Oh,
there's okay. nothing and not enough.
There's nothing in the contingency. So where would it come from?
Well, you might have to go to town meeting. I mean, like Enrico, was that the road that we had to go to town meeting in order to use surplus money from the project?
It was Enrico because the drains collapsed under the road.
Yes.
So it was quite a large amount. We went to town meeting in order to fix that. So you can always do something like that based on. But then you're taking the surplus.
Right, it's coming out of your surplus.
Right.
So we were also discussing the other day, if we lose too much interest, that it would end up coming out of the select.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Because that's when we asked, when I asked that question about what happens if we lose interest and we're short, enough revenue to pay for the school's budget. And I believe the answer was that came out of the Board of Selectmen's budget, the rest of the town's budget.
Our budgets would be frozen and only essentials would be based on what we're figuring our revenue is going to be. Once the Board of Ed gets their budget, it's theirs to lose. But the town, if we don't get all the revenue in, we're going to be the ones that have to take the hit for that.
So that sounds like that would be the same issue if they had another student come in with special needs now.
It would hit contingency first. Would not.
So we take 25,000. These can be like million, hundreds of thousands, or a million or so, depending on the needs. Yeah,
I hope not.
And not the
thousands, but no, it can be quite expensive.
So, anyways, maybe that's the discussion we all want to consider for the next budget. Is taking a percent we can. 2.6%?
I forget the exact amount. It's in around 2.5, 2.6. It's specified in the charter.
And the money's at least still around.
And then every time we adjust the budget down lower, that amount in the contingency has to drop.
Go down as well,
To keep it at, the required maximum.
But that would still lead to 3% going back into next year's budget. We're not going to get rid of it, because I don't think anybody's willing to take that chance. That's a big gamble.
And this all assumes the budget passes, and they don't have to go. In the end, they still everyone votes.
Yeah,
we can try to be responsible all we want.
Bottom line is, it has to pass.
Maybe if we communicate better, we can convey the fact that
perhaps
trying to be
present
responsible.
The budget options. It's like, this is the first one. The next budget, if we were to have a reduction, it would mean we would cut Kappa, which means we wouldn't be able to save up for XYZ.
We're going to pay this much in interest on this principal that
we're going to pay it to somebody else instead of paying it to ourselves.
That's right. The debt service will exist.
That's right.
That will not go away.
Okay, is there anything else on that was expenditures or debt service?
That was debt service.
Well, it was
A little bit of everything.
Just the budget.
Just the conversation.
There we are.
I guess it's a mixed capital improvement discussion. So updates on current capital projects. Does anybody have the list?
How much should we save for this next one?
Of what? Next capital project? Not much.
Too soon.
What's the capital project you're talking about? Oh, okay. Do we have any updates on capital projects?
What do you want to know about? So the garage at the high school is done. At least the part that we're paying a contractor for. I know that the team is going to be working on some storage solutions inside there. They're using it to store some fans. So they have vehicles that are now stored inside that were previously stored outside. The project at Notch Road is going pretty well. We had a slowdown with foundation coating, but the foundation coating has been done, so they can work on finishing the backfill. The flooring was going in today. I'm told that by December 1st, we will have all the ADA compliance things taken care of as far as sidewalks are concerned, both in the front and in the back. So that project is going pretty well. We are continuing to work on plans for various capital projects that we have going on. The plans for the Herrick Park fields are done. We intend to be going before the Wetlands Commission for permits for the Herrick Park fields later on this month. We are hopeful that we can have plans for the community septic done enough that we can also bring those to the Wetlands Commission at the same time so that those projects can move forward and go out to bid. The thinking is that before we have the state do their final review, it would be important for the Wetlands Commission to take a look at it. So if they required any changes, those would be incorporated before those went out to the state. The Heritage Farm Trail.
Hold on, sorry. Just because a lot of people here know what we're talking about, but a lot of people who may be listening to the minutes or listening to this meeting don't know what these are. So when you talk about the Notch Road Municipal Center, that's the demolition of the old school.
Which is, right? The demolition is done.
And improvements to the senior center and area, the building, not the outside.
Not right, the senior center.
The meeting lot, sorry.
The meeting room.
And meeting, the meeting, room.
Meeting rooms A, meeting rooms B.
And the accessible entrances.
Right, the accessible entrances.
And then the Herrick Park is doing what again?
Soccer fields. The addition.
The new soccer
field. New soccer fields.
And then
there's a grant involved with that.
Exactly. Right, there's a grant involved, and
grants involved in all of these.
And we have to pay match.
Yeah,
with match.
So. And then the community septic is for what?
Community septic will serve as a septic system for town hall, the trooper's office next door, and the library.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, and a potential to add the...
And things at the Heritage Farm in the future.
Right.
Okay, sorry. And then Heritage Farm Trail.
The Heritage Farm Trail, which goes from here... over to the Heritage Farm, that 70% for submission has been in for the state Connecticut DOT for review for quite some time at this point. We are waiting for feedback. We did get a letter of commitment for funding for the Lyman Road Bridge replacement. That's about $1.5 million in grant funds that will be coming to the town for that project. There is also some matching funds that are required, but those funds were put in by the Capital Committee last year into this year's and next year's capital budget, so those are covered. From memory, that's all I can recall.
Well, it's just the room A and B.
Oh, yeah, grant, and we did get a grant for about $500,000 to remodel rooms A and room B, and that paperwork is done to date.
And our application is going in for the.
And we're working on the paperwork for the $250,000 grant for the Parks and Recs grant that we got unsolicited. It's not something that we applied for, that was given to us through Senator Rahman's office with no match.
I think some other towns had also received.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Town of Andover.
Glastonbury.
Well, yeah.
Glastonbury Manor got different. Bigger. Yeah.
Much, much bigger.
Yeah.
All right. And then, so the capital budget also included a couple, was there a truck on it or something? Was it just miscellaneous little things?
Well, the other big thing was the control system at VHS, which I know was underway. Last I knew, they had done conduit before school started. The conduit was just about done. I don't know if you have an update, Dave. I don't have an update since then.
Control system, that's the heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
That's correct.
Thank you.
HVAC control system.
If I remember correctly, I think John said that work would be going into probably midwinter.
Yeah. And the other things that were part of the ARPA grant, but are on our capital budget, are generators here at Town Hall and generator for the Bolton Center School, which also serves the water system, the public water system that supplies water to the Bolton Center School, to the Senior Center, to the CBC Community Voice Channel,
garage,
to the town garage, to the town highway garage, and to the town hall annex. That generator, we're still waiting for the generator. The conduit's all been put in. The infrastructure has been in the school for a month now. We're just waiting for the generator to appear so that final installation can take place.
And so for clarification's sake, they were on the capital improvement plan, but we took them off because the Notch Road municipal demolition came in lower than anticipated, and we were able to use those excess funds to cover some projects that were originally on the capital.
That's right.
Right, but, and they're still considered capital projects.
Right.
But yeah. but most of them is being funded from
non-tax
either grants or ARPA funds.
And we haven't heard from the bus grant yet, right?
Oh,
from
the,
sometime in October is what we were told.
For the senior center van?
Yes.
With the senior van?
And then we do have two assessments underway, correct? Well, we have the fire truck strategic plan, which could inform future capital needs potentially at the fire department and staffing needs. And then we have the facility study as well, which is required for the Board of Education to get grants, but also will help inform a potential future project of a town hall.
And it'll help us with capital planning.
Right, exactly, yeah.
That's just an assessment of most of the buildings, it's pretty detailed, actually. And they go through and tell you what should be and shouldn't be, should be fixed or needs to be fixed in certain spans.
I think the last one was over 15 years ago.
It was more than 20 years ago.
20 years ago? Well,
fortunately, nothing.
How old I think I am. Okay.
Yeah, it was over 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Or part of that one. But that's, and it is invaluable. It really is. Because you, when we deal with, it's Bob Morris speaking, when you deal with these buildings, you're dealing with this issue, that issue. Someone comes in, they're looking at the whole thing, says, okay, you really shouldn't be. You shouldn't be putting any more into this building. You really should be doing this. You're doing that. That's part of their overall viewpoint. They look at all of the town's facility. Town facility means education, or it's like everything.
Probably going to show us we've disinvested in our
20 years
infrastructure.
I don't think it's going to say we did too much anyway.
Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm. Is there any other comments on current capital projects? Let's go on to the upcoming capital projects for next year. What it is we're thinking about putting on the future capital list.
Well, the one thing we didn't mention, Gwen, what's it called? The town hall. We had money already in the capital budget for it, but
conceptual plan?
Thank you.
Yeah. That's so that we do have chosen a firm to do that, but we're waiting on getting the facility study done so that the town hall crew, conceptual crew, can look at what the facility study results are.
So isn't there four names?
We narrowed it down to four firms.
Yeah. Oh.
We haven't narrowed it down to one yet.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They're just going to come up with a conceptual plan with a conceptual budget, right? As far as I
know. Right. So the next step, once we get the facility study, you know, I believe the goal of the committee was to share that facility study with these firms and then ask them for pricing for the project, because all the information that we've had to date from them has not included any pricing for putting together a plan for us.
And that'll have a lot of the data they need for what space we need in the building. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're waiting for that. But there was four firms that we had left.
That's right. We were supposed to, each of us are supposed to rank them.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Doing the header. Yeah, not just in general part of this discussion is that one item that you should be thinking about in the next year's budget is one that we had put in the capital a while back. That's a $100,000 for
grant match.
We had put it in there, and we have utilized that to offset a great number of these grants that came in without impacting, you know, taxes. But it's gone, and I think that's when you're looking at next year's capital. I think it's a critical aspect. It's kind of like goes back to sort of Chris's thing. It has this reserve in there. It's there, and that can, if it's not used, it can go forward and can be continually used. And I think it was a good. I think it was a great idea, and we put it in. It should be continued. Mm-hmm. And
it's just not funded.
The benefits of the town is you know, look at the millions of dollars we've gotten in,
right,
based off a relatively small match in actual funds. Most of the match, and Jim can attest to that, has been through the town
in kind.
Well, our personnel, our personnel contributing to various aspects of developing the grant. So the town, it's one of these, I could say a mystery, but it's one of these things that I many of our taxpayers really don't see, that we have all these projects we've done. I don't know how many millions of dollars it is, but it's significant that everybody in this room, whatever board you're on, work to get these grant funds to come in and pay for this. And that was not, that's, well, it's your tax dollars because you pay an income tax, but it wasn't because of a tax that you paid
to the town
property tax. And I think everybody's worked on that, and everybody should be proud of what they've done. And I think our taxpayers should be aware of this thing. It's a critical component of how a small town can survive and move forward, as well as the other thing we haven't talked about, but it's in here. And that's that if you will, combining services, and not just what we've moved to combine as much as we can with Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, but also going beyond that, that services in this town doesn't mean that you can't share with another town or another region. That's if we are to survive economically, that's where we have to go. And I think everybody here is nodding yes. It's agreed, and I think we made a great start, and hope the future boards continue on that, because that is a key element fiscally for our survival as much as anything else we do.
And there's other towns in between the boards too.
Yeah. And I think I think we do it more than people know.
Oh yes,
I mean,
it's a key element.
With, you know, between, you know, animal control services, building inspector services, shared assessor services, there's a lot of sharing that's going on between the town of Bolton and other communities in our region, which is saving all of us money.
And I think if the state allows us a little more flexibility with our schools, that would be very nice. If, I mean, I know you have, there are restrictions on there that limit. For example, if you have a great music program, if I was a student in town of Manchester and I wanted to be a part of that, I can't.
No, I'm not paying them.
Unless you pay tuition, right. You can't. Yeah, well, you can't just say, I'd rather go to this and that. And, you know, people talk about school choice. To me, school choices allow you to go to a different public school than the one you're going now. Why not? End of my... My box, I'm done. Done. Finished. My last words in.
Well, the other, capital.
Well, it's sort of capital related. But to the grant conversation,
yeah,
since I'm rolling off the board, my pet project is, you know, I really think we need to make an investment in a grant writer. We just talked about how much money you can bring in through grants, but we are currently having to use a variety of town staff, largely Jim and his team, to write these grants, to find these grants, and sometimes on the Board of Education side as well to write the grants, right? It is a honed skill set to go and find grants, right? Like, some fall in your lap, some are recurring and you just know about them, but there's a large swath of grants that are out there if you know how to find them and you know how to write them. And that... the return on investment would be huge if we you know, put money towards that for the future. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a full-time staff. It can be contracted, right? It can be on a trial basis. You know, but I think it's something that we need to
do. That came up in the coffee and conversation. by a couple of different people.
Well, yeah, because I've been telling them about it on social media.
Priming the pump, so to speak.
I would say that that would best be a shared service with another town at best. Because maybe. All these grants come in and they have to be managed. And we, who's the staff?
He's probably writing them and managing them. So you could, I mean.
Right, so you've still got to manage them. So the more you get.
Well, and the finance team has to manage the financial right. end of it too.
Right.
And I think they get pretty well scanned at the moment. I don't, does the board, do you guys scan for grants all the time? You know, we get them from all kinds of different organizations saying these are available. You know, I'm sure there's other places.
Yeah, I think Amanda's point is though we don't have time to go out and seek out grants that match our needs, right?
Right.
We're applying for grants kind of that fall on our lap
right.
for the most part.
And from what I can see, our hands are full for quite a while. I don't know how.
I mean, you can pay a contractor to do reporting, right? On the finance side, managing grants should not be, and sorry, Jill, if this is upsetting, but it shouldn't be that much more work, right? It's the creation of another account to track the money separately. It's, the allocation of a certain expense to a specific grant. So, yes, there's more journal entries than maybe there were before, but the reporting.
It's also about making sure that we're following the rules because the rules,
right.
the rules are different for every grant.
Correct.
And some expenditures are allowable, others yep. are not.
Absolutely.
And the finance team is responsible. They're our gatekeeper.
Got it.
No grant. I am the grant police. Yes.
I hear you.
I was nicer than that.
I am excited to find a solution because if we have too much grant money coming in, I think that's a good problem to have, and we'll find a solution. We'll find somebody to manage those funds and make sure that we follow those.
Right.
And we can,
and you can build
our capital budget, our capital expenditure budget.
And sometimes you can build it into the grant admin.
What?
I think you end up hiring somebody, and then it's going to cost you another 100 grand a year. You're going
to
go back.
Yeah, but you're getting grant funds in. I mean,
you're going to work doing stuff that you don't have to do.
Well, that's all
some
part
of it. Will, some won't.
Well, that's all got to be decided on. Do they match the long-term plan for the town?
Right, right.
So you just don't do it because you can't. Because right. yeah, they will add expense like we talked about,
yeah.
too.
We're not doing your splash pad anymore. I know you've been holding it. It's off. Only needs only, Rhonda.
I was at a meeting. Somebody else said that same thing.
Splash pad.
Hot tubs it out.
I'm trying to get a splash pad up on the top of notch so I can run out of water so we can bring it up from Manchester.
Well, I think anything's positive.
So as far as capital improvements, is there any suggestions for thinking about adding to the list? Next year.
So I sent capital letters out to our department heads last week and said, it's time for you to be working on your capital budgets. You know, I said, what I told them is that more than likely this year's capital budget will be taken up by things that we pushed off from last year, because I don't think those needs have changed a whole lot. That will be for the capital committee to decide when they get together in January. But I did encourage the department heads to put things into the capital budget that they saw as coming up, so that at least the capital committee and the finance committee and the board of selectmen and board of education would be aware of them so they could plan for them for the future, right? Even if that's 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 years down the road, if we don't know about them, we can't plan for them.
And if you could encourage it not to just include needs, but wish list items as well. For example, something that came up in my conversations with some employees at the library is the expansion of the library, right? Like that was an idea that came about over 15 years ago when we were talking about expanding the high school. We don't have community space to have meetings in the library, right? There's so much more that the town could offer and do if we had that space. Now, I'm not saying it's something that's out there, but it's great to know the universe of possible options out there and how it could impact and improve the lives of residents that live there.
My understanding is this community septic system will allow the library to tie into that system, and their current septic field would then be somewhat available for expansion.
Well, they can't, when they looked at expanding probably 20 or so years ago, they couldn't, because public health code would not allow them to because their current septic system is maxed out. And we all know just by observing the town green over there that we have very tight soils, right? I mean, we have water that doesn't drain over there, which means that we can't expand the septic field, which means that we couldn't expand the library.
If we had to build that library today, we probably wouldn't have got a permit to get a septic field in there.
Right,
so,
probably true.
So that's how bad it is. And one of the key, if I may, I mean to interrupt, one of the key reasons for moving to get a community septic system was that it just opens up avenues for all these buildings to be, you know, rethink about their uses and whatever. And that just provides opportunities for the future. I don't know what they are, but they're there, which would never have happened before.
So although it doesn't appear on the current capital list, that hasn't been forgotten. And I fully expect that it's going to show up in the facility study.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Board of Ed, though, like, to their, you know, they have provided a wish list every year, right? We get that field every year. We know what's important to the Board of Ed and the school, right? I don't know that the Board of Selectmen has ever gone out with this is what we want. This is our vision. This is what we see, right? This is falling apart. This needs repair. And so it doesn't help our story and the vision that we see for Bolton moving forward. I see that on the Board of Education side, and I have not. I mean, we started with our work plan, right? And our strategic planning session, right? We have it a little bit, but I think we can take some further steps to make that vision more apparent to the residents of Bolton so that people who live here and people who are considering moving here know what the future in Bolton hopefully looks like.
So there brings in Herrick Park's existing fields, which were put in when? 1960? And they, of course, soccer fields have a crown on them so that the water, well, that crown has since gone away. So, you know, there's whatever. We don't know how many, $500,000. Could be anything. To strip it off, put a new base on, put it back so that they're dry fields again. So that's one of the projects I'm going to ask to get put on there.
Okay.
And then the water going up Route 44, which was kind of on there, and then there was contingency money put in there too. But that got taken away, so that project's on ground zero yet.
Except we're still
pursuing
it. Without spending money.
Right. Yes. So
historically, though, to be quite honest with you, the boards or selectmen have understood the cost of maintaining our school facilities. And they're the biggest expensive building for us to maintain. And yeah, we have right along. We have said we can do by like redoing this. This thing was a dump inside here. I mean, these walls are new, windows are new, everything here is new because we know we couldn't build, but through grants and whatever, it's a viable structure. You can function here, but a new facility is, you know. So this is, we looked at this 20 years ago. So here we are now, finally, and then moving Gwen and all, the crews going forward. And finally saying, okay, it's time to move Bolton into the next millennium to deal with, and that's whatever. And that alone is a huge, it's a huge thing because it's not just it's not just a office building. I mean, it should be something for a community building.
It's a representation.
And I think, well, yeah. It represents the town, but it's something that the community can utilize as well as the people working for the town. But that's a wish list.
So one thing you've got to keep in mind when you're building all these fields and trails and paths. You got to maintain them, which, you know, the crews are pretty thin at the moment, right, Jen? And, you know, we just learned that we have to do the Charter Oak Trail from the whole length of Bolton. We got to mow. We've always mowed in between the fences, but now everything's growing from the outside of the fences through. And so now we've got to start mowing the other side. So, you know,
cutting the brush back and all that other fun stuff.
So, you know, every time we, We're gonna mow the soccer fields and we're gonna mow a lot of stuff. So you gotta be careful. Once you add enough stuff, all of a sudden you're gonna add another $100,000 personnel position who's gonna use $50,000 worth of equipment every year, plus another $5,000 in fuel and wear and tear on the truck. So you can add it all you want, but it's just gonna add to the cost of the town doing business. So you got to somehow be moderate about doing that. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind.
Or start a mowing brigade.
And by the way,
lots of riders in town.
Buy auto mowers.
Yeah, I'm sure they have those somewhere.
We'll rent the cars.
That is state property that we're mowing on. They should be doing that. They have not taken up that responsibility. They literally have passed it off to us. So let's put the onus right where it should be. Mm-hmm. It's in the state government that's sticking it to us and you, the taxpayer of Bolton. You don't like it, get a hold of your representative and your senator and tell them what the hell's going on, that we're getting screwed in this process.
Like the gift that they gave us of the voting machines. We paid a $1 lease for them, which they never gave us a dollar back when they said we could have the machines. And then along with those come a whole bunch of maintenance fees.
Here we go.
Several thousand more dollars a year. So thank you for the present.
Is there anything else on that?
We should end on optimism.
We will get that dollar.
I'll say something.
The machines don't overheat anymore.
That's true.
There you go.
Perfect.
Could I just get the names of people who didn't speak so I can note that they were present? There's people I can't see back there. I didn't know Gwen was there.
Did you get that, Tyler Regner?
Okay.
CYLERETNER.
I got your name. Go ahead. I just need the name. I think I have everybody from the boards.
Gwen Marion.
Okay.
Ashley Pajoli. Tim Sadler. He's
been tall.
Spoke. Yeah. And Ross. Well, Bob.
Yeah.
Rodney, Jim, Amanda,
you've been a real
Rhea Klein.
Rhea, okay.
Chris,
she never noticed you.
Ashley,
my last year,
Phelan, and Dave Caruso.
Who were the last two?
Thursday night. Ashley Phelan and Dave Caruso. You got those already.
I got those already. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
One more thing. Congratulations on the ranking for the schools, existing staff, and thank you for the new staff for all of your efforts.
All right.
So I guess we're down to, if nobody has anything else.
I would move we adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I think it was productive.
Yeah.
How was it?